This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, we're keeping it real. One more time. This is the weekly mashup only on Cliff Central. My name is Dumisha Masha, and of course, I'm with my co-host, Candy. What's up, girl?
Hola, how are you doing?
I am I'm a little bit down, actually, to be honest with you. I'm not feeling so great this week. I've been trying to find something for the weekly mashup because I was trying to avoid all the stuff that's going on in the media about the Concord decision, about the president's, I suppose, coming out on Friday and addressing the nation, what's happened after that with the NEC, what happened in Parliament this week. And I've been feeling worse and worse for it. I don't know about you.
I think I'm more or less on the same page with you because it's very hard to avoid it when it's everywhere, right? Yeah. On Twitter, Facebook, you turn on the TV and it's there. Even the Panama Papers now. So it's just...
You know what I mean?
My goodness.
Yeah, isn't that the thing though? I mean, like, you know, trying to come up with... what we could talk about this week on the weekly mashup. What has happened in our week, in your week?
Precisely.
I was trying to find something on social media pages, in the media, anywhere from friends that was positive, something that was uplifting, something that was fun, that would just take us away from the milieu that I feel like we're kind of stuck in at the moment with what's happening in our country. And I couldn't find a thing.
Well, you and me both.
You were saying you were hoping that Kim would like put out another naked picture.
I was like, Kim, where are you when we need you, girl?
Man, she's our go-to, but she didn't do anything.
She didn't. It was devastating, honestly.
I must say, I tried going on to SnapScan, right? Just you know, to take us away for a second.
Okay.
Because there's this new app, and everyone's going, you gotta get onto SnapScan. I don't understand.
Is that the one that you pay with?
No.
Which one is that? Because I've seen, like, you know, when
that's SnapScan, Snapchat.
Oh. You see, I was like, what are you talking about?
Okay, I'm on SnapScan. That's the one you pay. It's very convenient. Yeah, but I was trying to get into Snapchat.
Okay.
And I'm on Snapchat.
Okay.
And I'm like,
what's happening?
You can't look at just other people. You know, that's what I wanted to do. Like on Twitter, you get on Twitter.
And you can.
And you just can, right?
Yes.
And then on Snapchat, you have to be friends with those people.
Okay, no, you have to first follow the people, right? And then it shows who's looked at your picture board or storyboard.
Yeah.
So I'm also very new to Snapchat, which is, I don't know, it's a very weird site for me. I'm not feeling it right now.
Yeah, but like, how do you know who to follow? Like, what if I don't want to follow the usual suspects, like the people in my contact pages?
Okay, well, it gives you that option. But everyone, like most people who've got their Instagram will tell you that this is my Snapchat handle. So you add them.
Okay.
And I don't like Snapchat.
I'm not into it just yet. So no. Maybe one of these
days.
You're
probably gonna come back next week and you would have been snapping away. And I'm just like, no.
Maybe I'm old school like that, you know, because it's like, don't we have Instagram if you wanna have photos of yourself every 5 minutes?
Okay, but no.
To tell people what you're eating, what you're doing right now.
Okay, can I tell you about Snapchat,
okay, please,
right?
Please.
The reason Snapchat School became very popular is because people could send pictures of themselves in any position that they felt like, and it would get deleted after 10 seconds. So you get to, the person views the picture and it disappears in 10 seconds. So, and if you decide to screenshot the picture, then it informs the person that you've decided to screenshot that picture. And you get like a Snapchat warning. You do it 3 times, I think you get kicked off or something. See, so that's how it became popular. So when you said you had Snapchat, I was like, what are you doing?
Okay. You know, I mean, you said you can take a photo of yourself in any position. I was also like, you know, curious about that, those positions. Like, where are these people who are taking those photos?
I'm just saying.
I suffice to say, I didn't find any of those people who are taking those photos.
Well, it's good for your marriage.
It's very good for me as well, you know, thankfully. So let me leave it alone. Let me leave well enough alone, you know, and I don't want to have to be apologizing.
Get out of trouble.
Like the president.
Let's just say that wasn't an apology. You can also blame your informants. You'll be like, Candace misinformed me of what Snapchat was.
Yeah.
Baby, I just logged on and next thing you know, 10 seconds.
You know, I had no intention to look at naked pictures. And if I
did,
I wasn't intending to actually enjoy it, right?
So, I mean, I don't know. I think we could all learn something from the president. You know, if you're in a compromised situation, just blame everyone.
But
blame everyone
thing, right?
But yourself.
I mean, like, Okay, this is what got me in a funk. Because okay, I was going through a mild depression. I decided that a long time ago, I was going to stop reading the Sunday papers. Like, I avoid them like a plague.
So you were going through the positivity vibes.
Yeah, I was going through my positivity vibes and thinking, you know what? The best thing to do is to make sure that you just don't, you're not part of that, you know, that vibe.
I hear you.
So I didn't read them for a while because every time I read them, I'd be like, so-and-so's done this, so-and-so's stolen that money, so-and-so's in trouble with the law again, that celebrity is being, you know, thrown in jail for drunken driving, the other one has cheated on his wife, or his wife's cheated on him, blah, blah, all of that. So it's like, let me just avoid all the negativity altogether, right?
Okay.
And it's worked for a long time. I even avoided shows like Carte Blanche and talk shows on radio that always are negative or talk political. About political stuff, right? But these past couple of weeks, in fact, I think this whole year, we've just been bombarded.
You don't have a choice.
With negativity. There's no upside. I mean, the Proteas lost terribly when they were in the World Cup, the T20 World Cup now recently. So there's nothing, there's been nothing good happening. And these past couple of weeks have just been an escalation of that. What do you think?
Of everything.
I was hoping that you'd come into the studio and lift me up.
Well, I am a motivational speaker, which is going to kill the audience because they're like, girl, please.
Motivate me.
No, but can I tell you, 2016 has been a challenging year, I think, for the country, I think for every person, because you can't not be informed about everything that's happening. So whether you've decided to avoid all the, you know, newspapers, your Twitter feed, whatever, but it started off on a bang, you know, on a bang of negativity.
That's right.
And I feel like the past 2 weeks, you know, it's easy to get in a slump. You know, because it feels like you're so helpless in this greater equation, you know, so...
It's one thing after the other. I mean, last week we're talking about the Moody's ratings, downgrading, blah, blah. I mean, the Panama Papers have come out.
There's always something new, right?
There is, isn't there? And the thing is, what happened was we all waited with bated breath for this Concorde decision and the judgment to come out because we were thinking to ourselves, finally, we might see some justice.
Right.
And the Concorde decision actually went the way most South Africans, I think, were hoping it would because it was the right one. The president, it was found, had actually, whether he intended to or not, he had broken the rules of the Constitution, which he had sworn to uphold when he was sworn in as a president.
Yes.
And I suppose at that point, the right thing to have done for any leader would be to say, as the man in charge, as the person where the buck stops with me, I'm going to say, I made a mistake. I'm
the
sorry.
First citizen.
I am stepping down, or I'm going to fix it like this, or I'm going to fix it like that.
But can I tell you, I think the biggest disappointment for me was came about. Firstly, I compromised my weekend plans to listen to this speech, which was a waste. and by the time it ended, I was so depressed, I didn't feel like going anywhere anyway. But, you know, I just thought to myself in that moment, that was such a leadership moment that he could have taken and really used to his advantage. And I think had he just said, listen, I am sorry, I take accountability and I will fix this. I don't think people would have erased his history, but I mean, you couldn't have faltered the apology because as soon as someone takes accountability, it's much harder for you to fight them. But with him, it was just like, look, I don't really care what y'all have to say, but I'm just doing this because, well, apparently someone told me that I've got to do it right now.
And
then I'm going to blame everyone.
I'm paying back the money scenario was like, I'm kind of just doing this because...
You guys expect this of me.
I'm stuck now. I'm in a corner.
Exactly.
So, okay, you know what? You're right. I'm going to pay back the money now, whether you like it or not.
Like, it you know, it's devastating because it really wasn't an apology. And I think had he just, you know, decided that at that moment he's going to be a leader, you know, it could have changed a lot of things. And even the people that are always like pushing the ANC agenda would have been like, would have had like a standstill.
Exactly. And the thing is, straight after that, then we had the opposition after the Concorde ruling came out. Going on about impeachment, which we knew was never really going to happen since they don't hold a majority in parliament. And we saw that that didn't happen, which further entrenched the feeling that perhaps the ruling party is more about the ruling party than the citizens of South Africa.
Yeah.
Which puts one in a position where you go, with all the things that the history of the ANC and how proud it is and... you know, how right they were in fighting apartheid, and vanquishing it eventually. Mm. Now we find ourselves in a place where we might have to vanquish the ANC.
Can I ask you something, though? Uh-huh. And this is what gets me every time. I always think, okay, we all know Zuma needs to go. Mm. And that's our main focus right now. Mm. But when he does go, who exactly is going to take over? Because, okay, let's look at the ANC number one. Mm. It would be Cyril Ramaphosa, assuming that he would take over. Mm. And I don't know, I'm not a fan. When you look at the EFF,
he's been very silent right now.
He's been very silent, and he's kind of just waiting the storm out. You know, he's not showing any leadership qualities. Then you look at the EFF, and it's Julius. Now we mustn't forget that although Julius really articulates the country's agenda, and I think he's very much needed in Parliament. We mustn't forget that when he went into Parliament, he did lie to all of us. He said he's going to give up, you know, the salary. He's not going to do the Rolex thing. He's not going to do the lifestyle thing. And we all know he's done that. And then you look at the DA, and then it's Musi Maimane, you know, who seems to be pushing Helen Zille's agenda. So for me, it's very tricky to choose or decide.
I agree with you totally. I mean, the elections are coming up. The president also made an announcement this week that the elections are coming up in August. I'm not sure of the exact date, but I think it's early August.
Okay.
And those are local government elections. Mm. Now, I ask myself, who would I vote for if I don't vote for the ANC, right? Mm. So you do have the EFF, who are the economic freedom fighters. But when they were in the ANC, they certainly weren't fighting for our economic freedom.
Yeah.
The thing is, when Julius left the ANC and he was kicked out of the Youth League, he had literally, him and his friends and his cronies, brought the Limpopo province to bankruptcy. From tender irregularities and so on and so forth, not paying the right taxes, on and on. He's got, he's like, he himself has got economic and corruption issues that are still hanging, that we're still waiting for you know, the powers that be to do something about.
Okay.
And then on the other side, like you said, you've got the DA under Musi Maimane. Musi is a fantastic orator.
Yeah.
He speaks well. He dresses well. He looks the part.
Yes.
But the problem is, everyone else behind him in the DA, can we really trust him? Look what the DA has done in the Western Cape. Yes, Cape Town is wonderful to go and visit.
As a tourist.
It looks beautiful. If you've got money, they'll welcome you. But Cape Town has got a lot of problems if you are not white. Let's just put it like it is.
You know what it is? I think the one thing we should highlight about Cape Town is that, as beautiful as it is, as you are saying, the one thing we always fail, because I know in debates, it's always like, look at the Western Cape, you know, it's so well maintained. But look at when you get to the airport, as soon as you drive through the airport, look at what you see, poverty, you know. And
poverty on poverty.
I just feel like they're not looking after the majority. They're looking after the, you know, the minority there, which is, it's a great publicity scheme. But I think when you really get to the root of the matter, you know, when you go into those gang-related places, the not-so-glamorous parts of Cape Town, I think it's a big problem.
You've got the Cape Flats, you've got Gugule too, you've got Khayelitsha. They actually have regressed since the DA has taken over.
Yeah.
The poor are even poorer. And even if you're not poor and you've got a professional job, many people get
the
paid.
The pay is terrible.
Pretty much nothing. Maybe paid peanuts.
It's a retirement place. You can't go there and decide you're just going to live there and work there. You have to really have some money to your name. You
and
know?
As an entrepreneur, you're not going to go and start something new. It's it's a place where money has already been made.
Oh, yes.
And we're not letting anyone make any new money. You can bring in your old money this side, but you're not making it here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so imagine that was the whole country then. And that's what...
That would be a problem.
That's, for me, is, I think, what you'd have with the DA, where, okay, If you're okay, things look good. But if you're unlucky enough, either not to have made your own money or are not white, you're stuffed, right? And those are two opposition parties, the real opposition parties. The rest, I don't even think count. COPE,
forget about
it.
COPE was a contender once upon a time. But, you know, she just kind of messed it up.
They self-destructed. Forget about Akgang.
Oh, no.
They don't even exist anymore. Yeah. And then there's, you know, Bantu Holomisa's party, which is like, okay, they've got like five people. There isn't any real opposition. There isn't anywhere else to go. As a voter, I'm thinking there isn't really anywhere else to go, but we still have to make our voice heard. And the only way to do that is by voting, right? Mm-hmm. Because at the moment, what we were left with the last parliamentary sitting is that the ANC decided to vote against the move to impeach Jacob Zuma. And then they turned around and said, this is what the people of South Africa clearly want. And the people of South Africa are now saying, but no. We never said that's what we want. It's what you said you wanted. The fact of the matter is we are the ones who voted them in, because otherwise they wouldn't be in power.
Of course.
Right? So therefore, then you ask yourself, what do we do as a nation? I mean, I can understand why young people are thinking, why should I go and vote? There's nothing that's going to change.
No. But can I really come in there? Because I think firstly, voting is terribly important. I think each of us has to vote for something that's different. You know, we have to vote against what we are seeing. And if for nothing else, to give them a scare, to realize that you are not a one man band here. You know, you have to listen to our needs and you have to take us seriously. And if we don't vote, then it's just going to be the same old thing and we're going to keep complaining.
Okay.
I think the biggest problem I have, though, is I just wish that the opposition parties would really come out with something that says, this is what we stand for and this is how we're going to change things. You know, because right now the sing song to me is like, get Zuma out, which is great, we all agree. But now, even if Zuma's out, what are you going to do for me?
What
are you going to do?
Even if Zuma's out, who's going to go in and run the government
and fix
this? Still, you know, the same people are going to be doing the same thing, right?
Oh yeah.
So it's a bit of a tough one, and I'm with you there. It's like, it's impossible. It's an impossible scenario.
But we have to vote. We have to vote. That I'm extremely like.
You're not messing around with that.
No, yeah, like don't complain at home and then you don't vote and then the ANC comes back with a majority and we complain, you know, like we have to make a difference somehow.
I think if anything, what we've seen from this past week with what happened in Parliament and the move to impeach the president is that maybe it's time that the ANC did not have a majority.
Oh yes, that's 100%.
Because perhaps then things would be run better, because they'd feel that they need to actually earn our votes every time. At the moment, they don't need to earn our votes because they're running things in Parliament.
It's on a silver platter.
Get them out, right? So there you go. We got someone on Twitter replying to, I said, I need some motivation right now, you know. Silumko Abraham says that the man that sleeps on the floor can't fall off the bed. This is by Najiramba. It's like he's asking, is that motivation enough?
I'm
like, okay, I don't get it.
I'm like, bless him for giving us something that neither one of us
needs. Silumko. I don't get it.
No, I think, can I say, give me
the
a second.
The man on the floor can have, okay, yeah.
Okay, can I ask you? Yeah, can please. I ask you? Okay, so the less you have, the less you need. So you've got less to complain about, I guess. Because if you're sleeping on the floor and there's no bed, what are you complaining about, you know? The less risk, I think.
But then,
No. Please tweet us what you mean, because none of us understand.
Yeah, no, I think you're leading us.
You know what?
I think you tried to get me motivated, Candace, and you tried to get me up, but you just destroyed that.
I'm like, poor guy, like he really tried to get us going and neither one of us
can you send us a better quote, please?
Or please simplify it for us, because clearly we're not
smart
enough,
because we're too stupid. That's why we're in the funk. We can't figure this out. We're in this place and we can't get out.
One good thing is he got us laughing, because we both feel like completely dumb for not understanding what this means.
Oh man, I'm so like, anyway, so the other thing is, I was saying, our sports teams haven't done very well. They're going to be announcing soon that Saru, the new Springbok coach. And I was very vocal last year about Heine Kamea and how I felt about him. But I heard rumors that he might be coming back. And at the same time, there's very strong possibilities that actually they're going to be getting Alistair Kutsia, who used to be the coach of the Western Province, and is now in Japan earning lots and lots of money in dollars, and I don't know if they can afford him. So
oh gosh, you know, you're speaking to the wrong person about sports, eh?
Is it?
Like, I'm awful with sports. Like,
okay, so what do you want to talk about?
I just
know
we're winning or losing.
Do you want to talk about clothes and like lingerie and fancy things like that?
Of course. Like, let's get into that. Will we be able to afford it after our president gets
Look, at the Rand dollar exchange going up at the moment, you better hope that actually it's made in South Africa. And speaking of which, yesterday I went to this massive place, right? They sell all sorts of materials and textiles and whatever it is that you want to make.
Where was
make
this?
Curtains. It's out in North Riding.
Okay.
By the Deco Park.
Oh, yes.
And it's basically a factory shop. So if you want to make curtains, like I said, if you want to make your own bedding, if you want to make your own clothes, if you want to make anything, your own carpets, your own... I mean, you know those throws that we have on our couches, those furry
those
ones?
Cute ones.
Yeah, that like cost thousands.
Fancy.
I was like, you can just go there, buy the actual, because it's all made out of fake fur. Anyway, buy the actual fake fur at like 150 bucks a meter.
Yes.
And then obviously, you know, buy some more materials, just cover it, make it look nice. And there you go. For like under literally 500 bucks, you can have a really nice throw. It's called Chamdries or something like that.
Oh, great.
Anyway, so I went to the haberdashery there. And that's a word that I didn't even know existed. Well, I kind of knew it, but I didn't know what a haberdashery really was.
Break it down for us.
A haberdashery.
Yes.
Basically is a place that sells things that help you make the things to wear the things.
Yo. All our listeners are like, what?
English never loved us.
Him with his fancy accent and he can't even articulate what a haberdashery
is. Okay, so basically, if you want buttons, zips, anything that will help you put the actual clothes together. So pins, needles, thread. That's what a haberdashery does.
I can actually picture you like putting together your own throw. This is amazing.
I'm actually going to do that. I am actually doing that. At the moment, I'm putting together my own bags and luggage. You can do everything.
So you're starting a business here. I see what you're doing.
Don't tell
the
others.
You're like slick. You're trying to be slick. And like, so, you know, guys at home, like, don't be surprised next week when he's like, I'm selling.
I'm selling throws.
And bags.
Next week. And bags.
And shoes and slippers.
Yeah. And jackets.
All proudly South African.
Actually, shoes and slippers. Fur slippers. Fur coats. If you want a fur hat, give me a call. It's winter time.
It seems itchy. I'm just saying.
Just line it. Just line it. It's cool.
Okay,
it won't be itchy.
Okay.
I'll just line it. Don't worry.
I'm trying to put you out of business here. So
Don't do that. Don't be a hater.
Put him down.
Don't pull me down, hey? You are responsible for why the ANC is losing here in Gauteng. I want to give you Gwede's words.
I, Candace Maman, am solely responsible for this. Solely.
Okay. So yeah. So anyway, the Panama Papers, right, came out as well.
Yeah.
And so I didn't understand all of it, but basically British Virgin Isles, people are storing their money there.
Ill-gotten loot. In shell companies, right?
Okay.
So
what's a shell company?
A shell company is basically a company that doesn't really operate, but it's used to launder money.
Yeah.
You know. Oh, well, that's at least my understanding of it. So a lot of, you know what I found interesting about the Panama Papers?
Yeah.
Was the kind of people that were on it. I was like, Jackie Chan. I love you, Jackie Chan.
Oh, not Jackie Chan.
Right?
Devastation. But wait. It's not necessarily that he's done something wrong.
Isn't that
the whole argument? That maybe he's just made a lot of money or he's opened a company that side because it's sort of like a haven, not in a bad way, but it's just that's...
But it's tax evasion.
I feel like I'm getting myself in a corner.
I feel like your name is going to come out in these Panama Papers.
Yeah. From all that money I made from the SABC and Mnet, hey, and ETV. Yes. That's where I'm stashing it.
No, because the Panama Papers, basically, you know what? It wasn't as scandalous to me. I have to like admit. Until I saw like a documentary. It's a semi-documentary, like 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it was speaking about this. What's it called? Fonseca, I think, is the law firm. Yes.
Because apparently, what happened and how this came out, because everyone thought it was a leak, but it actually wasn't a leak. The law firm got hacked because they're the ones who helped all these people open their shell companies. As you call them.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
And basically what happened was, why it's causing such a big uproar is the kind of activities this law firm is actually involved in.
Oh,
so they're involved in like sex trafficking, drug trafficking, that kind of industry. So obviously, you know, no one wants to have their brand associated with something like that. So yeah, so that's why it's really like causing an uproar.
I mean, apparently, James Cameron, the director? The British Prime Minister.
Oh, the Prime Minister, okay.
Cameron.
Yes.
His father has got some money out there with this in Panama.
He
was one of the leaks.
Oh.
And in, is it Norway? Where the people there, their president, also had some money out there. And they actually did a call that very week for him to step down. And all the people came out all at the same time. And guess what?
What?
The president was out.
Ah, Zuma. He failed us again. He should have been
invested. That day.
What?
that very, very day. And like Kulubusa Zuma,
was implicated.
He's got a company out there, a shell company as well, apparently, that has connections with the DRC, because they've got a company with like 100 billion rand that's out there. And I asked a friend of mine.
Yes.
If you were offered 100 billion rand.
Billion rand. Yes,
okay?
Yes.
You can have this money. And for this money, you are going to be Kulubusa's size for the rest of your life. No matter what you do. There's no plastic surgery. There's no diet. There's nothing that can help you. Or you stay as broke as you are. And you keep the body that you have. What would you do?
Me personally.
What would you do?
If I had his body. No, I have to take his body.
No, first you get the hundred.
Okay.
But the condition is
you have to look like that.
Yeah.
As a woman,
For the rest of your life. No, man or woman, you can choose.
No, because I can't deal. Hey, like I feel like there's so many options out there for me.
Really?
I will make it another way.
You'll make it another way. Look, I don't know. Even those options. I mean, we talked about those options, like the sugar daddy option, the making your own money option. 100 billion is a long way from where we are right now.
No, but can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, for me personally, I'm so obsessed with like gym and like lifestyle and fashion. I mean, like nothing would look good on me in that size anyway. So why am I making the money? You know, like it just feels like quality of life would just like
it would be a bit of a problem, because like if you think about it, you know, you go to the Caribbean because you can now afford it, but and you're on your yacht and one side and is kind of like sinking and you can't even be in a bikini. You kind of have to be in like a sheet.
We'll go to the haberdashery.
Yeah, you have to go to the haberdashery because you have to make your own bikinis. Right.
Or you have to have custom made everything.
I mean, man.
I don't think it's worth it, hey? No, well, can I tell you something? I was about to say, like, I wouldn't even be able to get a man as if I can get one now. But it being that size, like, I mean, your options.
Help
like,
Candace out, people. If you're on Twitter, you've seen a picture. Let's prove
her
wrong.
Stop it. No, but, like, seriously, like, I feel like if I was that size, like, I'd just be struggling. Like, I'd have to pay. I'd definitely have to put people. Yeah, I'd have to put people on a payment plan. You know,
but then, like, would they even be able to help you? Because would they find where the body parts are for them to help you out, you know? I mean, no, it's like ridiculous, right?
If anyone out there would actually like take the 100 billion and look like that, please tweet us or Facebook us or WhatsApp us, whatever.
Like, let us know if you would do it.
Yeah, if there's anyone out there who would take this. So I'm a no.
I've thought about it as well. And I'm going back to what you said. And it's very shallow. I'm gonna go down in order of importance. The sexual thing first.
Obviously.
At that size, I think your parts, like your man parts, are covered in fat.
Yeah, I don't think they did.
And you know, I don't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable if you're like really overweight. It's not your fault. We're just talking about this. But like at that size, I don't think that it will work. You've got all this money, and even if you could get people to sleep with you, I don't know if it's possible. Oh my gosh.
I think.
And like you said, you can't wear anything. You're always uncomfortable. Actually, I'm sure you're always
hot, sweaty.
Mm. But outside of that as well.
But that's a tough one. Why can't you get surgery? I'm just sad that my 100 billion can't get me surgery. That's the whole point, right?
That you have to live with this thing. Otherwise, it's too easy. You know, we can't make it too easy.
Okay, true story. But you know what? I feel like now we're just highlighting our vanity.
More money, more problems.
We are so highlighting our vanity now.
Yeah, we are. And we're highlighting our prejudice. We're sorry.
Yeah, no.
I love fat people because I'm a fat person myself. So it's okay. Like, you've got a brother right here in me.
You're making it seem like it's a tribe.
Oh my gosh, we have to stick together. We have you skinny people, and I know how you eat too. And you eat like you don't put it away.
No one needs to know that.
And you don't get fat. Like this whole gym thing, it's a ruse, man.
Oh, stop it. I haven't seen you at the gym. Yeah, because
and I imagine you probably do work hard at the gym, but like even if you didn't, like you'd still
do it. No. Anyway.
I'm hating.
You are so hating on me. And no one has actually taken up the offer. Did you notice?
Not yet. I think they're still like thinking about it. Because of what you just said now and your prejudices. They're like, nah, she's too vain. I can't handle it. But did you know that bacon affects the brain the same way as cocaine and heroin? It overloads your pleasure centers.
Oh
in
my
the brain.
Gosh. I agree. I am so with.
That's probably because you've never tried cocaine though.
True story. Kids, don't try cocaine out there.
Just have bacon,
just
right?
Just have bacon. No, but can I tell you, it's terrible because I feel like I'm that person. Like, I get joy from food. So when I eat, yeah, I literally get as happy. Like, if I'm in a bad mood, like, remember the other day you were like, oh, I'm feeling grumpy and I just had breakfast. I was like, what did you eat?
No, I said, like, I hadn't had breakfast.
You
remember,
I said
I hadn't had breakfast the whole day and I was feeling like
was
a
like,
bit low.
Obviously,
hey?
If you had bacon, you would have been so much better.
I don't know.
Bacon and
eh?
Some chocolate on the side, and you know, just like I go to town. Go to town.
I think
on
that
it.
If I had if that was the case, I would probably always be at the bacon part of Woolworths or something. You know, I would be always like I'd be a bacon fiend if there's such a thing. But I haven't found bacon that would make me leave my house in the middle of the night, like. I need some bacon, you know.
You make better bacon at home, I think. Like, I think most people make better bacon at home.
If bacon was like cocaine, wouldn't more people like be opening their garages and pushing their cars out in the middle of the night, making sure their wife is not hearing them, you know? And then as you get to the street, you start the car and then you go into this bacon place.
No, that's like donuts for me.
Come on.
Like, no, you know what? You know what's the saddest part? I've tried to diet, right?
Mm-hmm. And why?
Listen, just shush.
No, I want to know why. Why would you diet? We'll get to that.
Because I was trying to be like, you know, runway skinny. And basically what happened was I was good. Like, it was. Like, the diet went well for me.
Yeah.
Until I realized that it was going well because I was pretending and faking to everyone. Yeah. I was like, I'd be in the house like, when no one's home, and I'd eat chocolate, and you know, I dispose of it like I'm disposing of cocaine wrappers. Like, I put it in another bag, put it in another bag, put it under the trash. You know, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
I was like, why am I doing this? Like, this is psychotic. you know what I'm saying? So I'm all for food being an addiction. I'm like, yeah, I'm on that gravy train. Literally, figuratively.
So you've been addicted to chocolate?
I'm addicted to all food. Like, if it tastes good, I'm like,
all food
like
except
there.
Salad.
Oh no, salad tastes like I'd rather be fat. That's what salad tastes like.
Well, they say nothing tastes as good as skinny feels.
Oh no, they lied. Skinny feels hungry. That's what skinny feels like. People mustn't even lie.
I tried that, you know, like, and I agree because Oprah coined that phrase, and I was like, yeah, Oprah is right. Nothing tastes
as
good
no one
as
has
skinny
been.
Feels.
No, Oprah's been on more diets than most of us.
You
so
know.
So
yeah,
she knows
she would
food
know,
tastes
right?
so much better.
But I must say, food tastes so good that if that was the case, I would have stayed skinny. I know what it's like to be skinny. I've been skinny before. That was usually a poverty thing back then, you know. I was like poor.
Oh, we got a tweet
food.
From Tuso. Help me with the surname. I don't want to mispronounce.
Tuso Ramuetelo.
Yes. And he's so sweet. He was
what
like,
he
hello, I'll add Candace Mama. You can definitely get a man. I can tell you that for free at cliffcentral.com.
Okay.
Thank you, Tuso.
Is he volunteering? When he says you can definitely get a man, is he like, that man
or
that you can definitely get?
Or is he saying, is it one of those lines where it's like, you're so beautiful and you're so intelligent, but
yeah.
for someone else,
yeah.
not for me.
Yeah, not for me. It's like, it's you. It's me, not you.
Yes, yeah. yes.
Okay.
Like, maybe it's one of those lines that he's
But I guess in real life, we're not, I suppose, is it possible to be everyone's type?
Oh, no, because, I mean, you know what? This is what I found, actually. You can meet someone on paper, right? Because all of us have these stupid lists. I don't care, man, woman, alike.
Yeah.
We have these lists of the things that we think are ideal in a partner. Then you actually sit across from that list and you're like, this is so boring. Like,
okay.
I would rather be eating bacon. And then and then you meet someone who's completely not your type, you know, who ticks like two boxes and you're like, yeah, you know,
okay.
Chicka-wa-wa.
But isn't that like, is that a female thing? Because you guys don't need to fall in love. It's not about the looks. It's
oh,
about
definitely.
How the person makes you feel.
Oh yeah.
First and foremost,
yeah.
right? And in fact, that's why a lot of I'm being vain again. I don't know how else to describe this, but
it.
That's why a lot of maybe short. Well, you know what? I'm just going to say it the way it is.
Short
Maybe
people.
Short, fat, ugly men with no money can get really hot chicks.
That's true. Because you know what? Persistence is number one. That's what I found.
Okay.
If they chip away long enough,
listen
they will get you.
Listen to this,
you.
Guys. I
yeah.
think it's, we'll just call it the
nuggets.
Candace's nuggets. Of how to get the girl. Persistence
yes.
is one. Just
persistence
keep
is one.
Knocking.
Keep
chipping away.
Keep her laughing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when you don't find her funny, laugh, make her laugh. Make sure she stays chuckling.
Okay.
Because then the looks disappear real quick when you're laughing with a person.
All right, cool.
And every time she thinks of you, she gets like these feel good emotions, you know,
that's
like,
right.
Oh my, that's my homie.
Yeah.
You know, and always
but,
just.
But that, you just said that's my homie.
No.
It's friend not, zone.
Yeah, because women, we do tend to friend zone. But like, you know, if you're too deep in the friend zone, like, you know, don't try and crawl out. You just like.
Really?
Just.
Is there no way back?
There is. No, there is a way back. But yo, hey, you require like. You require stuff.
Okay, so the second one. First, it was like be persistent.
Persistent.
Keep her laughing. I guess that's two.
Yeah.
Right.
And be emotionally available, because that's what most men lack. Like they're not all.
What is
three
this
things.
Being emotionally available thing? Okay, because that sometimes really confuses me. I feel like you guys use that as a way to like either keep us in the friend zone or avoid sex. Like I
can
said,
I tell you,
yeah, I said
let
it.
Me tell you what yeah. emotionally unavailable is.
Yes.
Like when you're hot and cold. Like I never know. Like when I pick up the phone, I never know if you're going to be happy or sad. That's emotionally unavailable to me.
You mean like when you call?
Yes.
And the guy's like, hi.
No. He's like, huh. You're like, hello? Huh. Excuse me? And then you're like, how are you? Good. Eh-eh. And then the next day you call and he's like, hey, girl. You know,
oh, I
like
see.
You can't. Right.
Yeah, so be yeah. more.
Be consistent.
Is it more be emotionally consistent?
Be emotionally consistent.
Okay.
And like.
So don't be a biatch ass nigga.
And don't be confused. Like, don't be telling me 1 minute how much you love me. Okay. And then the next minute you're like, I'm not sure where this is going. You know, I feel it's moving too fast. Like, okay. Make up your damn mind.
All right.
You know, okay. It's either we're going fast or we're going slow. Like,
yeah,
choose,
yeah.
Choose
but once
something.
We're going, we're going, we, right? If we're going fast, we're going
stop.
Fast. You can't now turn around and say, we were going fast, but I've decided we need to slow down. Or we were going slow, but I've decided we need to just speed it up. Or
yes.
Speed up. Is speed up good? Because I always believe you got to start slow and then speed up.
Yeah. Can I tell you a conversation I was having yesterday, actually? Mm-hmm. The person was telling me that basically a man takes a long time to realize like what he wants out of a partnership. And I was like, that's a
probably because forever.
Yeah, because a man is never ready for marriage. That's what I've realized. Like, no man wakes up and is like, I'm ready today. It's a woman who's like, I am ready. It's either you're either going to put a ring on it or I'm leaving. You know, it's just
okay.
You know what I'm
see.
Saying? So then I was like, why must men always want to just be difficult? Like, you know, just tell us, like, if you're not in it, why should we sit you down? Like, 10 years down the line, why should I have to sit you down and be like, are you going to marry me or where's this going?
But maybe, you know? Like, the guy is thinking to himself, look, at the end of the day, I prefer to be with you, okay? But the whole marriage thing as a commitment is a little bit too much for me. And let me clarify that.
Yes, please.
I love you. I want to be with you for the rest of my life. Until I die, whichever
okay.
comes first. I just don't see why we have to have a contract about it. Like, can't we just like be cool? Like, you know, on a day-to-day.
Kick
yeah,
kick
just
it.
Kick it, you know.
No.
Like, have kind of one of those informal situations
no.
where, like, tomorrow, if you change your mind, it's cool, you know.
No.
Didn't work out. Or if I've changed my mind, it's cool, you know.
Mm-mm.
It just didn't work out. Why do we have to make this thing of, if you, because usually, like, the marriage contract is based on the if you leave or if
yes.
this doesn't work out
yes.
more than if it does.
Yes.
We assume that it will work out, so we don't have to talk about that.
Mm.
But if it doesn't, here is what you get.
If you decide to do some shady
you get half your stuff taken. You get your car taken. You get your house taken.
Okay, Oprah.
You get to pay alimony. Yeah.
No, stop it. No. Like with women, no. Because like, how are you going to date me for 10 years and still say, I love you, but I'm not sure if marriage is the thing for me? Because I mean, listen, let's say I start dating you like at 20, right?
Yeah.
And then you decide that at 30, you wake up one day and you're like, listen, I'm not sure this is...
I'm going
to be
there.
Like, excusez-moi.
We're going there.
And you can't do that. No,
you've
baby.
Wasted my life.
No.
I gave my best years to you. I was so hot when you met me in my 20s. I was so skinny. You gave me these 3 kids. You ruined my body. And now you're going to leave me for that 23-year-old?
No. Can I
How
be fair,
you?
Though? Let's
okay.
be fair.
Yeah.
A woman, it's so much harder for a woman to date when she's got kids than it is for a man to date.
I suppose.
Like, a man can date with kids. So like, if you decided, woke up tomorrow and you were like, you know what, I'm getting a divorce and I'm going to go and see what's out there, you'll still have people available.
Yeah.
But it's going to be so much more difficult for your wife, because a man's going to be like, oh gosh, she's got a baby. You
baggage.
Know, she comes. Men look at it as baggage, even though it's a blessing. They look at it as more like maintenance. They look at it however they're looking at it, but it's harder to date.
Well,
know?
I mean, if you think about it, that going back to that marriage contract.
Yes.
It mostly says that a man has to kind of look after the kids and or you
yes
or you and the kids until another man marries you and takes over, and it's like
precisely but knowing that
so that other man's like no
yes so both parties knowing this, you know, it's far trickier for a woman to find someone when she's been married. So, or not even married, but she's got kids, you know. So
you know what? I think marriage itself is
protective.
I'm not going to say it's the right thing to do. It's a great thing to do. It's the best way to express a romantic love for someone else, right? Mm-hmm. And to have a relationship with somebody that you want to say I'm permanently committed to. There's no other way to really
100%.
And that's just my opinion.
And it's also showing the world, because can I tell you this? Like, there's a huge difference when you introduce someone as, this is my partner, Bo. Mm. Or this is my husband, Bo. You know, even the respect in the room changes. You know, even men kind of like.
It's like back partner. Up what does little. That mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Business partner.
Thank you.
Partner how?
I thought I was the only person that used to get confused. I'd be like,
okay, so you guys just interim. Like share a house and just. You're partnered up on the
right?
bond.
What because,
is this?
Because you get
thing?
To a certain age when like boyfriend, girlfriend doesn't like fit the bill
it
anymore.
It just doesn't
you
work.
Know?
You know.
So you have to either say, it's my husband, it's my wife, or it's my partner.
Ish.
And when you say partner, everyone's
we
like,
we all know it's like, oh, okay,
shame,
so it's your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or are you guys just kicking it for now?
Yeah,
you don't know where
you
it's
don't
going.
You don't know where it's going, right? Yeah, okay. Especially at that age, like you said, like when you're in like from 40 up.
Oh, yeah. Of,
literally.
No,
like when you're in your 40s, your 50s, and you say, this is
hello.
My girlfriend or this is my partner. It's like, huh? what do you mean?
Like,
no, I mean, like, we're just kicking it, you know?
Like, for how long have you guys been kicking it? Like,
about
I'm so confused.
5 years.
Oh, no, that's not kicking it. Like, you have kicked me all the way out the house. I'm gone. Like, I was even saying, like, 2 years to me is sufficient time to know if you want to marry me. If we've been dating for 2 years and you still don't know, bye, boo. Like,
I kind of agree with that, but I'm old-fashioned in that way. And you know what? I have to say this, though. Mm-hmm. I've seen other people who've kicked it, you know, for years, like 10 years, and then they got married. And sometimes that's the best because they didn't have anything but a choice to be in love and to stay in love with each other for those 10 years until they got to a point where it was natural and normal. So by the time they married each other, it wasn't forced, because I think here's where people go wrong. Once they get married, it's like, okay, now I own your ass. Like, literally, you belong to me as like my phone and my car and my house, my property.
You are mine.
You are mine.
Yeah, no,
so
I agree.
That whole thing of, a husband doesn't do A, B, C, and D. A wife, mm-hmm. you know, I hear people say that, like, a wife cannot be out at this time of the night, out with their friends at a party. And I'm like, huh? Mm-hmm. What does that mean, a wife? Like, where are these rules? Because I didn't see them. You know, when I got married, no one showed me the rules that a wife cannot do this or a wife should do that.
Or a husband. Can I tell you, though,
like,
I think it comes down to just respect. I think basic respect is something you can't negotiate. But I think this is where marriage becomes tricky, and this is where I sometimes question whether I want to be married mm-hmm. or not. And it's basically where, firstly, some people date someone mm-hmm. knowing good and well who that person is, and then they expect that the ring is going to change who the person is. Like, you knew good and well when they proposed that they come home at 1 o'clock the next morning. Now, all of a sudden that he's married, you're like, no, no, 9 o'clock is curfew. You know what I'm saying? You can't like change up the rules all of a sudden just because you're married.
You know what I'm saying?
You marry the person. Really?
I'm here and I know, like, it's really late. I know. In fact, it's really early in the morning. At least late in the morning, too.
We're in the next day
now. But I'm here. I came back. And I'm going to keep coming back. Like, you got me. You got me.
No,
you know?
The only thing, like, I couldn't marry someone like that. But, if you are dating a man and that's what he's showing you and that's who he is to you, you can't expect, like, the ring to change that. And I think that's where a lot of people go wrong, because they get married to people they know aren't an ideal fit for them. But because of society's expectations, like, hey, you guys have been together for 3 years. It's time, you know. They get married and then they're more unhappy within the marriage. And now the husband is like hanging out at pubs because he doesn't want to go home.
That's the thing, right? Like Martin Lawrence in one of his stand-up routines, I think it was called Run Tell That. He was like, married men generally have one or both vices. Either they're smoking weed all the time or they're drinking or they're doing both, because they just need something, right?
A release.
A release. But
marriage
I find
can be amazing though.
No, it can be. I think that a lot of people do hide from home. It's not always at the pub mm-hmm. or with the boys. Some
Wherever
people hide like with work. They just go,
true
I'm not
story.
Coming home because I'm at work all the time or I'm on business trips and things like that. But you can't say that I'm doing anything wrong because like I'm getting things done around
true
the house.
Story.
But isn't that because maybe the communication is broken down, where someone or both of you feel like I can't really just be with you. I can't just be myself. I can't actually
That's difficult.
Be chilling with you right now and being myself, because you're going to ask me, oh, you're doing that again. Or every time we're trying to sit here and watch some TV, you're on Facebook.
But that's, you know, that's the thing. Those are just the rules of your own relationship. You have to establish what works for you guys. And I think one thing that people fail to understand is almost every woman that I've met is in love with the ceremony of marriage.
Yes.
You know, the ceremony is amazing. You think, oh my gosh, like we can articulate our wedding day to a T. But no one talks about the actual marriage. What happens when the crowd is gone and it's just the two of you? You know, do you have anything in common? Do you love each other? Do you, what have you been speaking about? You know what I'm saying? And I think after the initial butterflies wear off.
And isn't it that also things actually change? People change. So in other words, the person that you married might have been that person at the time. They might have been the person who does come home at 9 every night, or rather comes home at 6 o'clock, they're already there. But suddenly, for whatever reason, they do change. Can you adjust to that change in that situation? Isn't that the most important thing?
It is. And I think that's where people fail, like, because they don't want to grow with their partner. Mm. You know, it's just like, look at the analogy of like high school maybe, or like varsity or whatever. The people you knew then get mad at you because you're a different person. And you're like, was I supposed to be that person forever? You know, and I think that's a lot with marriage as well. People expect the person they married at that point to remain that human being for the rest of their life. And human beings aren't wired that way. We change, we grow, our expectations change, what we love change, and our taste buds change. So it's just adjusting with your partner and growing with that person.
I suppose, you know? I mean, like, you know, like you, when I got married, I was really into gym and running. I was a runner all the time. And it's funny.
No, I'm just
But I found that sometimes it did cause a little bit of tension.
Okay.
Because it's a commitment.
Oh yes.
And it's something that you have to do all the time. And if you want to do it well, you actually have to make it a non-negotiable. So
even if
we're going to a wedding the following day, I've got to wake up and do this.
Go to gym.
I have to go to bed early or blah blah blah. And sometimes the change happens where you're like, to have fun with my partner, I've got to make certain compromise. And sometimes that compromise ends up going to the other side, where I'm now like, actually, I just don't feel like going to the gym anymore.
But can I tell you,
I want to have another glass of wine before I go to bed.
But that's my number one thing, though. Like, in a partner, because I know how obsessed I am with fitness and any form of fitness, like, I could never go on holiday with someone and they're sitting on the couch and they're like, go do you, boo. I'll be here. No, boo.
We're going to
get up. you
we're
know? Exactly. I need someone who's also physically active and who enjoys doing that kind of thing, because it's so important on my priority list, you know?
So, what you're saying?
Yes.
And this is another saying I've heard. Isn't it really important? And this is what J. Cole said. I'm just like quoting the most wisest men out there.
You go.
And J. Cole's like, in a relationship, you got to both do the same thing. So if I drink, you drink. If I smoke, you smoke. If I run, you run, basically. If I gym, you gym.
You know, I think if it is a vital thing to you, because for me, it is very important. It makes me feel good. I can't function if I haven't been to gym, you know. I'm not a good person. I'm grumpy, I'm miserable, I'm snappy. But after I've had those endorphins, I feel good. Like, we can smile again, you know. And if to you that's like having bacon in the morning and waiting for me to come back, it's gonna start pissing me off.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be like, one day we're gonna fight, and I'm gonna be like, you're always eating bacon, you know.
Okay.
You're getting fat every day, and here I am trying to maintain.
But you knew that I was eating bacon when you met me.
You see that's why
I was literally snorting it and injecting it. This is better than heroin.
But can you see? That's why I don't get it when people get into relationships with people they know aren't their ideal partner, and then they want to change that person. And I think women, we just hardwired for change. Like, we look at a man, we can see damage all over him, and we're like, don't worry, baby. I'm here. I will alter you. You won't even know who you are by the time I'm done.
Exactly. That's what women... If a woman sees a man in a church, what does she see? I'll alter
thank you.
You.
And can I tell you something? We even get mad. Like, it's so funny. I was doing a modeling show last night, and all the girls, we agreed on one thing. You meet a man, you meet a rough, you know, copy of what you're looking for. And we help. Like, you know, we alter.
A rough copy.
Yeah. Yeah, like we alter. We scruff.
Like, God could only take him this far. I got to do the rest.
I'm just the servant of, you know, the Lord.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, he's been wearing, like running shoes with jeans. So, you know, you're like, you take him as he is. And slowly but surely, the man starts having swag. You know, he knows what chinos are.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know, he starts wearing sneakers, you know. And then he tries to leave. You're like,
rewind. He's marketable.
Yes. Now all of us were like, no, you take him back to basics. You're like, go back. Go back to those jeans and those running shoes.
Okay, start there and then you can go out and be taken by this new person.
Yeah, grow out this hair. Yeah. Then you can leave.
Okay. So go back to that no haircut having jeans with running shoes wearing.
Yeah.
Guy.
Yeah, then fine dine knowing guy.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, no, we take you all the way back. We're like, she wants to take all my progress. Oh, hell no.
Oh, next. So that's what the divorce is, where she takes off your stuff.
Oh my gosh, can I tell you something? Like, there's a song by Beyonce which articulates this beautifully.
Well, which song is
it's called Ring the Alarm, right?
Yeah.
You must listen to it. It's such a wretched song. I'd be damned if I see another chick on your arm.
Mm-hmm.
Ring the alarm, because she's not going to take half of the things I've helped create, pretty much.
Yeah.
So that's what she's saying. Like, hello, honey, we're going to stay miserable together, but you're not going, you're not leaving me her all these finer things.
And on that happy note, we're going to get out of here. But you know what? That's the thing, right? Get to a point where you realize, this is it. I'm not going anywhere. I have to make it work. So I may as well just get started on those 100%. Steps daily and make it work. Thank you for listening. I've had a great time.
This was a lot of fun. I hope you guys are motivated.
I think I feel better now. Like, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Australia has taken all the South Africans they can take, and so has New Zealand, because it's got terrible weather. I think the UK is refusing to take us now. I don't want to go to America because of Donald Trump.
Yes.
So I'm going to stay here. And I'm going to make it work. August is coming.
We've got beautiful people here.
I'm going to vote. We've got beautiful people. I love all of you. I love white people. I love Indian people.
Black people, Indians, Russians, whatever you are.
I love black people. There are people I don't love, but I won't mention them. And that's okay. Oh, Chinese people, if you're out there, you know.
Love you.
Me love you long
Chinese
time.
Chinese food is amazing.
That's why they must stay.
We are terrible. Thank you so much for listening, guys. We love you.
See you next time.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
This is CliffCentral.com.